to truly believe in the magic.
Hey Magic fans, and welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Magic, an Orlando Magic podcast. We're going to talk a little today about the December schedule, early thoughts on the upcoming trade window, and we'll take a look back at a week where the Magic went 2-2. Before we go any further, though, you'll notice that Gary isn't with us this week. Sadly, on Monday evening, his mum passed away. I know that I speak here on behalf of all of the UK Magic community and all of the Magic family when I say that, Gary, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family at this sad and difficult time. Here for you, mate. Look after yourself. So, moving on. Today's episode is brought to you in association with Attraction Tickets, the UK's number one attraction ticket and theme park hotel provider for Disney, SeaWorld and Universal Studios. They also sell Orlando Magic tickets at a hugely competitive price. So when you're planning your next Orlando trip, check out Attraction Tickets using our link, which is in the description below, to purchase your tickets to all of Orlando's major theme parks, attraction shows and sporting events. You can also visit letstalkmagic.com for our affiliate links and the discount codes, including the NBA store and Fanatics. So, boys, welcome. I am joined this week by Mr. Jones. Grant, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm all right. Thank you, mate.
Good.
Obviously, a bit happier after last night. It's been a tough week other than that, to be honest with you. But Christmas is coming. As you can see, Mr. Clark's got his Christmas tree up. Have you put yours up yet, Paul?
Oh, yes, yes, all trimmed up, mate, all trimmed. Oh,
we so are that's done. The three of us. So I've got Markel Fultz at the top of my tree. I can see... Who have you got, Mikey?
I've got Yoda.
For those not watching on YouTube, Yoda, nice. How about you, Paul?
On the white tree, on the white and blue tree, we have Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. And on the green tree, which is all red decorations, we've got Santa.
Nice. I haven't actually got Markel Fultz. He would be on my tree if I did have a Markel Fultz decoration.
I'm surprised yours isn't just draped in all your magic shirts. It's a magic tree just completely trimmed up with your shirts.
I think I could probably do something like that. But yeah, we've got a few baubles up, a few candy canes, etc. So yeah, all good, mate. Thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you, mate. Very, very well. And Mikey, Mr. Clark, making a return. How you doing, mate?
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Yeah, all good.
Have you started watching the films?
Absolutely.
You're on the Christmas film trail?
Home Alone was the first one on the telly. I'm sure that was in Mr. Jones's house as well.
It was.
Actually, that's the first one we watched.
Is it really? Yeah, it's got to be done. Christmas decorations are up. Excited to get into another week. We've got a tough schedule coming up, which I know we're going to get into very shortly.
We certainly are.
We're enjoying the wins whilst they come.
Absolutely. Before we go any further, we want to give a shout out, as always, to our Patreons. Thank you for your incredible support to Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Angus Craig, Dylan Holden, Alan Kane, Tom Soane, Mark Joss, Sean Moore, Drum Drum, Paolo and Franz Warmth, Liam Radbourne, Andy Linley, and Stuart Benzies. We truly do appreciate your support. Thank you so much. I also thank you to anybody who supports this show. If you are interested in joining our Patreon, we do have three tiers available, the varying benefits. Visit patreon.com/letstalkmagic and feel free to join today. We would very much appreciate your support. So let's get into it, chaps. I think it's important that we get addressing some of the magic news and talking points that has been this week. So since we last recorded, teams played four games going 2-2. Wins over Washington and Detroit at home, with defeats on the road to Brooklyn and Cleveland. The Magic are 15-7 in the Eastern Conference. And I think, I forgot to check this, but I think we sit third in the East.
Tied for second, is it?
I forgot to have a look at that before we started this. So, first of all, I'm going to say, G.
Yes, mate.
Please don't ever ask a question again about Cleveland or a road game like that being an easier option. Please.
No, it was Detroit, I said. Was the,
you,
the home
you said
option.
Cleveland as well. You said both those games were easier options, you little... Please stop it.
No, I think I predicted a win in Brooklyn, but I said we'd lose in Cleveland, beat Detroit. But no, it was just, you know, the fact we didn't have to play another team that was in the in-season of semi-final.
You know full well.
I know. I'm on the hook for that.
Go without having a dig.
I know.
So anyway, let's start with, I think we've got to start at one of the high points of the week, certainly was the Washington win, equaling the franchise record winning streak. What were your thoughts on the importance of that win and that franchise streak to the team, be it the players and the coaching staff, and on achieving this, G? What's your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, you're at 8 wins. The record's, you know, there to be tied. It's in sight. Players are capable. We're playing a team, Washington. We should be beating on paper. Obviously, you're missing a few key players. And we didn't get off to the best start, if I'm not mistaken, if that's the right Washington game I'm thinking of. But obviously, you know, they knuckled down. And we're very good at home. We are very good at home, as you know, we've come to see. You know, not Mexico City, that doesn't count. But that was only a 1-point loss as well. So, you know, we've been playing very well at home. So the expectation was to win it. But the fact that the guys came through, you know, showed some real character. Obviously, Washington were hitting everything. Landry Shamet, just to name team one of them. You know, they got some shooters on there who can actually go off. Obviously, Daniel Gafford's very capable in the middle. You know, caused us a bit of problems. But you know, we shook off a shaky start and managed to get there. So you know, obviously, this team's now in the record books, tying, you know, a Dwight team and a Shaq and Penny team. You know, and you. How many Shaq and Penny jerseys do we still see around? Do you know what I mean? So, you know, the fact that Paolo and Franz are leading this this ball club at the moment, you know, we're going to be looking at that. Obviously, we're going to talk about the game is Brooklyn, and we didn't actually get to the, you know, to beat the record, but tying it is just as good. So full credit to the players and the coaching staff. It puts us in a great position for the rest of the season, obviously with a tough schedule coming up ahead. I think if we looked at our predictions at the beginning of the season, I don't think any of us would have had this with this many wins at this stage. So kudos to the players. And, you know, if we go 500 the rest of the way, you know, we're almost guaranteed a playoff berth. So it's a great start.
I'm going to just read something that Gary sent me through and come to you, Mikey, if you don't mind. Gary took kind of he's sat watching the Detroit game at this moment in time as we're recording this. And he's partway through and he was looking at what we've got here to talk about tonight. And he just wanted to put this from a coaching perspective, talking about the Washington game, but linking it into where... what he's seeing watching the Detroit game. It's put from Gary. It says it shows the importance of a youth culture coach like Mosley is to the team. Detroit with Cade, Wiseman, Hayes, Bagley, Ivy, Duran, Thompson, and just aren't achieving anything. So far, their moves for good young players and a swing or two hasn't worked. Whereas you look at the record that we have achieved under Coach Mose, it shows how strong a coach he is for the younger players and what he's able to achieve. Mikey, what's your thoughts on that side of things?
Yeah, I think Gary's spot on. I think it's very, it's like comparing apple to oranges, isn't it? The Pistons and the Magic. I mean, I tweeted this out yesterday about Zion Williamson. This is kind of going on to this point as well, that there was a clip of what Zion looked like in college. And he was dunking, blocking shots. He was running up and down the floor and he looked like a completely different player to what he is now. And I tweeted out saying, if there's any coaching staff in the league that could get the best out of somebody like Zion Williamson, whose confidence looks like it's down in the gutter, it would be Mosley. It would be this Magic coaching staff. Because of the culture and the camaraderie, the togetherness that they've created for such a young group. And we're seeing this with Detroit. It's the complete opposite. You've got all these young, talented players, and it feels a little bit like the Magic team when you think of, like, I don't know, the 2014, 15, 16 seasons, when you've got AG, Elfrid Payton, Victor Oladipo. You got all these really talented young players, but it's more about, I want to get mine, and I want to get my, I want to see how many points I can put up tonight, and I want to be the leading scorer, or I want to be the standout player instead of playing for the team. And I think, like, that has been the, I mean, the Pistons look an absolute mess. I'm not quite sure they're as bad as their record says.
I agree.
But having said that, I don't know about you guys. As soon as the game came on last night, there was a picture of Monty Williams. And I want to say, is it Stephen Silas, one of his assistant coaches, and Jarrett Jack? They were all sat together on the bench just before tip-off. And not one of them looked interested. They just looked like, oh, here we go again. Before the game had even started. And that translates over to the players. And yeah, I know, it's when you get onto an 18, 19 game losing streak, your confidence is going to be sapped and you got to find something else within you. But they have really messed their rebuild up because they got Kay Cunningham. You think how disappointed we were after we traded Vooch that we didn't get that number one pick. And now we're looking back, we're like, well, we still picked quality players and we've still shown that we can develop them, and you're picking players of the right character. And I think the Pistons are just, they are lost, I think is probably the best way of putting it for them at the moment. Whereas for us, like, we already know what our cornerstones look like, and we know what this potentially looks like going forward. So, yeah, I think Gary's spot on though for what he said, Paul.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
But that also speaks about the scouts as well. You know,
it does.
The scouting job that the Magic have had. You know, you look at the drafts that we've had since, you know, okay, we've missed on maybe a couple, you know, maybe your Mo Bambas, etc. You know, since 2017, but a lot of them have been hits, especially, you know, that Wagner, Suggs, Banchero, you know, and keeping that cloak and dagger away from, you know, the limelight, and everybody thinks we're going to take, you know, what was his name now? I can't remember his name. Houston. What's his name?
Oh, Jalen Green.
No, sorry.
Jabari.
Yes. Parker.
Oh, Jabari Smith. Sorry.
Jabari Smith. Yes, that's him. So everyone's thinking we're going to take him, and obviously, you know, organization, but also getting the vets in as well. I think Joe Ingles and Gary Harris, you know, you've got to speak, you know, give kudos to them as well. Especially Joe Ingles. My God, he's good. I've come full, you know,
you all are, the way around.
I did not like the guy before he joined the Magic, but you can just see him chirping, and he's, you know, going at his ex-teammates last night. Absolutely brilliant. So
I think there's a lot of, like, timing that comes into this, because you think we blew it up that summer. We moved on from the coaching staff. We brought in Jamal Mosley, and we had a fresh start with a fresh coaching staff with a new young group. And it was all like, hit a refresh, out with the old mentality.
Yeah.
Whereas Detroit, they kept hold of Casey up until last season. They fired him at the end of the season.
He went to the end. Well, technically he wasn't fired, was he? He's one of the front office guys now. No, he's one of the front office guys now, isn't he? He moved upstairs.
But it feels like, don't you think that they maybe should have hit the reset button with the coaching staff at an earlier stage, so that the coaching staff... I mean, look, we know best hand. Like, look what happened with Rob Pennegan when we blew it up the last time we started this rebuild. That we started Rob Pennegan, we started a fresh new, brand new rebuild. That didn't work. So, yeah... There's an argument for either case, but Detroit have got a lot to figure out. I thought Cade looked really good last night. I don't know what you guys thought. I think he certainly stood out for them, but I think for me,
he stood out for them, but in some ways, I kind of get that, for want of a better analogy, the Aaron Gordon vibe in Orlando. No, very, very capable player, frustrated as hell at the situation he's finding himself in. Can still play, but you just know that there's something more pending from him elsewhere.
I mean, they were missing Duren last night, which made a difference as well. And Jaden Ivey coming off the bench doesn't make much sense to me. But
well, he's been demoted, hasn't he? That's been a recent move. He's been demoted to from the starting unit, which is where one of the rumours around Kate Cunningham being frustrated and unhappy in the situation he's in. Jaden Ivey really unhappy at having been moved to the bench. They looked a mess. They did look like a beaten team as they came out onto the court.
And then Bogdanović, obviously, he's only just coming back.
Yeah, injuries played a huge point.
Oh yeah, yeah, magic killer. But obviously, you could see that he wasn't in rhythm. He needs to get some games under his belt. But we know he's very, very capable.
You throw Burks in there as well. He's been another one for us over the years.
Yeah,
that could have been easily two players who could always just go off on us for no apparent reason. But I'm going to move on to the defence. And sandwiched between holding Boston to 96 and holding Detroit to, what was it, 89 last night, the Magic really did concede a hell of a lot of points. In those five games between those two matches, we averaged 122.4 points per game against us. So how have you been feeling, Mikey, about the defensive play and us needing to get locked back in?
Before I go on to a few stats, I think the eye test will tell you the Magic just haven't been playing assertive enough defensively. It doesn't feel like there's that interior defense. That's not effective. Then I don't think they're showing bodies and crowding the paint like they were prior to these five games. Before that, everybody was crashing the boards. Now we're giving up too many second chance points. The last five games, the Magic are giving up 16.4 second chance points, which is 24th in the league. Before that, it was 11.7 and we were second. So we're giving up a lot of second chance points, not rebounding the ball the same. The other thing is, before the five games, the Magic were allowing just 46 points in the paint per game, which was eighth in the league. The last five games, that's up to 53.2. So I think those two stats tell you that interior defense is not the same. They're allowing too many second chance points. And then I just think the little hustle stats, like deflections, steals are down. We were second in the league. We're down to, it was 9.4 steals a game that we were getting before these five games. Since then, it's only 5.8. So we're not causing teams to turn the ball over as much. We're allowing too many offensive rebounds and second chance points. And then on the other end as well, we're not getting offensive rebounds like we were before that either. So we're not scoring as many baskets. We're having to scramble back a little bit more defensively. The intensity is dropping a little bit. And we're not really winning the possessions game like we were. And I do think some of it, J.I.'s obviously missed the last five, six games through injury. Jalen obviously sets the tone for the starters, flying around, fighting over screens, causing turnovers, offensive fouls, moving screens. He causes all that. But J.I. comes off the bench and elevates that intensity to another level. And obviously he can rebound the ball really well. He's a really good offensive rebounder. So I think J.I.'s, despite what's he paying, 12, 13 minutes a game on averaging, without looking how many minutes he's averaging. But I think J.I.'s influence is being missed. Suggs has obviously missed the last couple of games and got hurt a couple of games ago. But I just think the intensity's dropped and they're just not coming out with the same mindset like they were a few games ago. And last night was a really good game to get back into the flow and get ourselves back to what we were doing. I think we didn't start the Detroit game very well. They got they were getting shots that they wanted. And then I think towards the end of the first quarter, we started to turn the screw a little bit. And then the rest of the game, we made life really difficult for them. So, yeah, we'll get back to it. I just think there was naturally going to come a bit of a dip. We weren't going to be able to maintain that high standard that we had for a 9-game win streak. It was always going to drop a little bit.
Absolutely. That dip did occur during that 9-game run.
Yeah. And I think we're starting to see cracks as well. Now that we've obviously got a few more players out injured, that depth is there. We've got the depth, but I think the cracks are starting to appear because we've not got our best players on the floor all the time. And I think that's part of it as well.
I'd add on to that.
Obviously, other than the Detroit game, and Mikey's mentioned the first 6 minutes, the last five games, it's the first quarter that we've been beaten up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the starters need to get out there and set the tone. And they're getting beat, you know, other teams are scoring on us, and it's down to the second unit to bring us back. And, you know, thankfully they've been able to do that a couple of times, but the holes that were dug, especially in Brooklyn and Cleveland, were just too big to overcome. I know I was talking to Paul about the Cavs game. You know, we won, was it two quarters and tied one, and then we just lost the one by 20. You know, other than that one quarter, you've played well enough to beat. And the Cavalier team is pretty good, you know.
They've got a lot of good players. Donovan, they've got depth,
Mitchell,
as well.
Mobley, Allen, you know, they're quality players. Interior defense is very, very good. So you just need to play 48 minutes, don't you, essentially. But other than that, I agree with Mikey. No, J.I. obviously is a big, big miss. Starters need to do better. And a couple of examples, that Cavs game, you know, there was 2 3-point shots that were missed. It was rebounded by the shooter who went for a layup. That's just totally unacceptable.
Yeah,
it's just, and if you think about the two games that we lost, we let Mikal Bridges get going early in the Brooklyn game, and Donovan Mitchell going early in the Cleveland game, and we never really had an answer for those two. As a team, I think we're still defending. I still think the principles are the same, but sometimes we haven't always got that player who can just, like, you think if you stuck Jonathan Isaac on Mikal Bridges for 10 minutes early in that game, then it might have looked very different. But hey, who knows? But it's all things to learn from, isn't it?
So it's a young team and we're developing. And
exactly.
There's going to be, I don't think anybody can expect us to go through the season without hitting the odd speed hump here and there that's going to slow us down. It's unrealistic to expect. But we'll come on to a bit about the start and the position it leaves us in a little while. So I'm going to move on from that. But I think we've got to mention also Paolo. Paolo has been playing at such a level. Career high, 42 points this week against the Cleveland Cavaliers in that loss. So in his second year, how do you think he's doing, G? And the impact he's having on the team, how's he growing and the impact he's having?
He's exactly where we wanted him to be, isn't he? You know, last year, those numbers, you know, they were, you know, I hate to say it, LeBron-esque, up there with, you know, the best rookie campaigns that have been had in the last 20, 30 years, whatever it is. And he's really showing strides now this season. You know, that 42-point game, he was dominant. He wanted the ball. It was against the Cavs as well. And interestingly, I was, you know, keeping an eye on what the Cavalier fans were saying. And they were saying, hang on, this looks like somebody we know. And, you know who that is. The way he plays the game, you know, he's very physical, head down, drive to the basket. He can finish. He's got that 3-point shot. We've seen him go off, you know, shooting very well. And if I'm not mistaken, is he the best 3-point percentage shooter at the moment? I've got the stats in front of me.
On the team, yeah.
You know, and to come, and I know we had this conversation last March when he had that dip in February when I think he went 1-32 or something like that. It'll come. That's only 32 shot, you know. So he's obviously been working very hard. You know, he is your Batman and Franz is our Robin. We are in a very, very good position at the moment. So the impact. He is the leader. He is the go-to guy. We've had a game winner. You know, put the magic on his back. I'm all for it. Let him ride.
Yeah. This question was originally going to go to Gary when I was planning this out. And again, he sent me a little bit of something through. And he said that he is still at a loss as to how little hype Paolo and his draft class, particularly Chet, got when you compared to it. When you compare it to the ones either side, sandwiched either side, so Cade's and Wemby's, it blows his mind. He also put that Paolo being injury free now and out of Team USA mode, he's taken a huge leap. The three ball and his improved D have, in Gary's opinion, Paolo playing like an all-star. He also feels that he's developed beyond those in the previous year's draft, and he named Mobley, Green and Cade as being three that Paolo has surpassed in his opinion. Yeah, what's your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And, you know, if he continues the way he's playing, you'd put money on him being in the All-Star game, you know. Granted that all the coaches don't conspire against us and don't vote him in, but I'm sure they wouldn't do that. No, the way he's playing, absolutely superb. And he makes valid points as well about, you know, not getting the love. There was an interview with Tyrese Halliburton about his time with Team USA, and, you know, he's like, Paolo got us going. Paolo, you know, opened it up for us, I think his words were.
They were his words yesterday. Yeah, you're right. I forgot
speaking
that.
Speaking about Team USA in the summer. So, you know, there's a lot of love there from, you know, very, very good players. You know, Halliburton's obviously also very, very good. And good luck to the Indiana Pacers tonight. I know we're all rooting for them. I know this will probably drop after the game, but, you know, go Pacers tonight.
Every one of us is an East Coaster tonight, regardless of how we feel. Of you know, I don't think any of us have any disrespect for what the Pacers have done anyway. I think we all kind of quite like what the Pacers have achieved. And kind of, if we can't win the East, then I wouldn't be upset to see them do it.
They play a fun brand of basketball as well.
Yeah, yeah. So go Pacers, as far as I'm concerned tonight as well. Mikey, I was going to ask you about Jaylen, but you've already touched on it there with him turning his ankle against Cleveland when we were talking about the defense. But so aside from the defense, what impact would he have if his injury is an extended period of absence?
Well, interestingly, I went on Cleaning the Glass before we jumped on. I was just having a quick, I didn't have much time, but I was having a little look around then. Weirdly enough, the Magic are actually, with the points differential, minus 5.7 with Suggs this year.
Is that the case? Okay.
Yeah. So that's according to Cleaning the Glass.
So that's going to have come from the last few games.
Yeah, probably as well. But the thing is, we've had two blowouts against, the Brooklyn Nets. That didn't help either. The defense is better. So the Magic are 3.8 points better off per 100 possessions with him on the floor compared to him off the floor. So defensively, they're better with him. But offensively, it's actually showing the opposite. So I don't know. I just think Jalen Suggs is the tone setter. I think that's really his biggest attribute, I think. I wouldn't say his numbers have... Let me have a quick look at his numbers. I wouldn't say his numbers have taken a huge jump from where they were last year. I just think he's probably playing with just a bit more confidence. He's probably more willing to shoot the three this year compared to last year as well. So he's averaging... Yeah, there you go. He's taking 4.3 three-point shots a game, averaging 36.5%. Last year he was at 32. So his efficiency is starting to improve. His field goal percentage is up there at 45% as well. So offensively, he is giving us more than he has done in his first 2 years. And I think some of that's he's been healthy up until turning his ankle. He's getting to the free throw line more. He's becoming more efficient from there. But yeah, I just think that's my only worry with him out at the moment is, like G said about first quarter slow starts, is without Jaylen out there, somebody else has got to step up a little bit more. That would be, I think from a stats point of view, I'm not really worried. No. I think Gary Harris can come in and give us offensively what Jalen Suggs can give us, apart from maybe getting to the basket a little bit easier. But yeah, his intensity really sets the tone for this team. I think that's going to be his biggest.
I do feel that Anthony Black raised his effort level after Jalen went out. We saw again last night. He put some serious effort into that game.
Yeah. There was an example. Sorry to jump in there, Paul.
No, don't carry on, man.
Of Suggs. Obviously, in that Brooklyn game, you know, backs against the wall, we were down 20. We started the third quarter, and I think Suggs made a play. And it was, you know, an all-effort play, and it resulted in potentially a layup or something. We started to make a run. I don't know if you remember it. It was early in the third quarter, you know, diving on the floor, bench was up, etc. We started playing better. Obviously, we dug ourselves too much of a hole. We got back within, I can't remember what it was.
Five points, mate. 7 minutes left of the third quarter, we got back to 5 points from 23 down.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, he gives you that momentum shift. You know, a bit like ice hockey, you know, if a team's not playing very well, they normally just start a fight or something just to disrupt the flow of the other team, just to start again. So, do you know what I mean? It's all about momentum, isn't it? These sports. So Jalen gives us that, and you know, you want to see him on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. December, the schedule. This is going to be fun. We're entering that period that was picked out at the start of the season when the schedule was released as being our hardest stretch of the season on paper. So at the end of this period, what do you honestly think our record will be, and where are the wins coming from? Boys, the floor's yours.
Right, go to Mikey first, just because I've had a very busy day and I haven't.
You've not looked at him yet.
I've got it in front of me, and obviously I've only watched 3/4 of the Piston game so far. So
go on, Mikey.
I've not had much time to look either, so I'm gonna go through it as I'm looking at it. So obviously we've got Cleveland this week. They are 13-9. Boston 16-5. So then you got Miami are 12-10. The Bucks are 15-7. Just looking down the list, it's only really the at Washington on Boxing Day,
yep,
that have got a losing record, unless the Warriors.
Horrendous! It's a horrendous run.
The Warriors are 10-12. There you go. So maybe that's the only team. So out of the next, what is it? Is it 10 games? 12 games?
13. There's only
13. There's only two teams there that have got a losing record. That's the Warriors at 10-12 and the Wizards, who are 3-18. So. Yeah, this is going to be a really testing stretch. And obviously, the majority of these games are on the road as well, which we've been good on the road. We've got obviously back-to-back. Yeah, we got Boston back-to-back. Well, we know what happened in Boston last year. Beating them back-to-back games on the road. Milwaukee, we've already beaten this season. Indiana on the road, we've already beaten this season. Philadelphia at home, New York at home, and then obviously we got the 4-game West Coast road trip at Phoenix, Warriors, the Kings, and Nuggets. That's gonna be a tough stretch, that one. But I think if we're just being real, not even realistic, I think a positive. If we can come out of this stretch at 6-7,
mate.
6-7, 7-6, somewhere like that. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's my math. not my strongest point. I think if you could come out around 500 in this stretch of games, then I think you can go, right, we're going into the new year in a really, really strong position. When you think we've got a really home-heavy schedule in the second half of the season, especially down the stretch. So I think, yeah. If the Magic can come out of this, what's our record now? 15-7. So if we can, I don't know, 22 and I'm not even, why am I even trying to do maths on live?
22-13.
Yeah, 22-13, something like that. Even 20-15. Like
I was going to say, I would take 20-15. If we come out of this period at 20-15, I will be happy. Yeah. For those that haven't looked at the schedule, well, what we are talking about is the period from December the 11th through to January the 5th. And we play Cleveland at home. We then travel to Boston for two games. We then come back home to take on the Miami Heat. We are then three games on the road at Milwaukee, Indiana, and Washington. We then have two home games playing the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks. New Year's Eve, we are in Phoenix, followed by January the 2nd, Golden State. The 3rd, so back-to-back, playing the Sacramento Kings and closing it out with a road game in Denver. They're the games that we're talking about. I would take five wins out of that quite happily.
I was going to say exactly the same, Paul. I mean, you're looking at that Cleveland game for you need to get off to a good start.
Yeah,
we need to win. We've got you know, 2 days off or whatever it is until the Cleveland game. Obviously, then we've got, so we play on Monday at 7. The next game then is a Friday at 7:30. So there's a lot of time. We could get more bodies back, you know. And then we've got a nice early tip, a week Sunday against Boston, as you said. And then we play the Miami Heat. Now, the Miami Heat have been decimated by injuries, or so I hear. So, you know, I think the main thing for the Magic this season is try and win the division. You know, take care of business in the division. Get into the playoffs. You beat the Heat. You beat the Cavs. If we nick one off the Celtics, great. I can't see us winning twice. Milwaukee on the road, that's going to be tough. Indiana again on the road, tough. Washington, you'd expect us to win. Now, the next game is a Philly, but it's a back-to-back. So that's the first one in the Amway. So I don't know what the Philly schedule looks like.
No, I've not looked either, G. I've not looked at that.
So that could be, you know, a schedule loss. I don't know. A couple of days off, the Knicks. You know, Knicks are going to be there or thereabouts. Hopefully everybody's back, you know. And then you've got that second. And you've got to bear in mind, this is the second West Coast trip, and we'd have been done with our two West Coast trips by the 5th of January. And obviously you've mentioned the Suns, the Warriors, the Kings, the Nuggets. Even if you went 1-3, you know, 2-2 ideal, if you went 1-3 of those, you know, you'd probably take it, because, you know, not many other teams out east are going to be taking wins.
I think it's a long while since you've looked at the schedule and gone, do you know what, Golden State's one of them winnable games there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they're not all that anymore. They're getting on a little bit. There's a bit of, you know, animosity there. Draymond's in trouble all the time. Clay's not happy. And obviously they're not happy with their draft picks either, you know. So there's opportunities to win. Just stick with the process and stay together. That's the key thing here. But I think the key one's there. You know, you need to beat Miami. You need to beat Cleveland. Obviously, you need to beat Washington on the road. That's three. The Knicks, four. And then pick up any others. So like you said, five out of that wouldn't be the worst return.
When you look at the home record, even though it's a back-to-back, Philly in the Amway is a potential win. I wouldn't write us out of it. Hopefully. I mean, the ideal is that even though it involves travel, that we can put Washington to bed early. So as we can have a little bit more of a rest for the players after, between the Washington Wizards game and the Philadelphia 76 on that back-to-back. That would be the ideal. If it doesn't happen, then the second night of a back-to-back in recent seasons, we haven't been very good, let's be honest. No. But we're 2-2 this year.
Yeah, and I think Philly, it was 1-11 or 1-12 last season.
Yep.
Sorry, Mikey.
That's right. Philly play Miami on Christmas Day, so they get a day off before they
play
the Magic.
Yeah, of course they do.
You go to Disney World on Boxing Day. Lucky so-and-sos.
Yeah, we'd swap that, wouldn't we? We'd all go there. We'd all be happy with that.
Right.
Okay, this leads me on to I think we all saw it during the, I think it was the Cleveland game, the Is This Anything, about the stat of teams that had 14 wins out of their first 20 games and their odds of making the playoffs. 61 teams have since 1989 had started 14-6. 60 out of those 61 teams had made the playoffs. There's also the stat that I quoted a few seasons back around going into the 2019-20 season, that across the previous 20 seasons, 87 teams that had won 12 or more games in their opening 20, 79 of those 87 teams reached the playoffs. So a success rate of 91%. Taking into account where we are, what record we have. Mikey, G, how are you feeling? Where do you feel we will finish at this moment?
The only thing about these stats, obviously, about making the playoffs, obviously, it was, you know, 1 through 8 and 7 and 8 made it. So yeah, as long as, you know, that still applies, 7 and 8 being made it, you know, if we played 500 ball the rest of the way, like I mentioned earlier at the top, you know, we're going to be 5th, probably 6th, the worst. And obviously, you know, I won't lie to you, I keep an eye on some of the other teams around us. You know, if the Knicks are playing, if the Raptors are playing, if the Heat are playing, you know, please lose, please lose, please lose. I don't know if you're the same at this early stage. Remember, was it 2019-20 when we all went? I had a spreadsheet, didn't I? Do you remember, Mikey? I had a spreadsheet that I updated and I was literally like, right, we should win that one. We should win that one. Maybe a loss there. And we were just working out the final numbers so we could book our holiday. Anyway, so yes, you know, with that start and with those figures, I am feeling confident. Obviously, we've got this gauntlet in December, but you got to be confident. You know, like I said earlier, we've got Banchero and Wagner. We've never had those types of caliber players in recent years. So, you know, I'm confident we'll make it. I won't put a figure to it, Paul. So, yes, we're in.
Shake it. Look at this 13-game schedule, though, that we've got coming up that we've highlighted as being this toughest point of the season. If we go 5-8 in that period, we are still at 500. We're still over 500, aren't we?
Oh, over 500, yeah. By about
still over at 500.
By 5 games or so.
By
isn't
5
it?
Games, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I will say, I think 6th. I think we're finishing 6th
on the season. Isn't that what I said at the beginning of the season?
Yes, it is, I think. Mikey?
I'm going to go one better. I'm going to say we finish 5th.
Cool. Yeah,
so like I'm just having a look at Basketball Reference. I'd even go 4th.
Do it.
I think 4th or 5th. I think anything worse than that, like Boston, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. Let's be honest, we might be above Milwaukee in the standings and Philly in the standings right now, but I don't think we are better teams than they are at this point. And we're still waiting for a load of players to come back. So that might change in 20-25 games time. We might look at this a little bit more differently again. But as things stand, there's only 3 teams in the East that I think are head and shoulders better than we are. I think are clearer favourites than us. Brooklyn as a matchup, we obviously haven't done very well against Brooklyn so far and through 2 games. Indiana are dangerous. Look what we did to them when we played them already this season. So I don't think there's anybody that's really better than us.
Cleveland?
Than those 3. Cleveland are better than us.
Well, we need to show that on Monday. And then it's the Knicks then. They're the ones in and around us, aren't they?
But
they're
even if we lose 3-4. That game on Monday, I know it's at home and I know we've got a good record at home, but like we still got to remind ourselves like we are still missing some real key players. I think that's really important. But I was just having a look at Basketball Reference and their projected standings and playoff probabilities. They've got the Magic with a 95.5% chance of making the playoffs, whether including maybe going for the play-in as well. We're a playoff team, sorry. without doubt. And they also think that our remaining schedule, we're going to go 35-25, which if my maths is correct.
More on air maths.
It's hard to count.
We need Rachel Riley. No, Rachel Riley, you want, mate. You want Rachel Riley.
Shows how long since I've watched it.
She's a horrible Man United fan. And we don't. Oh, we could talk about Man United tonight as well because they're a nice time as well. Anyway, let's stay on topic.
You know how little liking I have for Bournemouth after two Leeds players went there jumping ship at the start of the season? I'm quite happy to see Bournemouth get relegated as a result, but. Well done today, lads. I'm very impressed.
There we go. But they've got us. They've got us winning 50 games. They've got us winning 50 games the rest of the way. So, yeah, how far we go after that? But yeah, I think we're a fourth or fifth seed. I really do.
So now, on to the way too early talk about the trade window when it opens up in about 2 months' time. I think it is. Question is, what would you have the Magic do? Are you trading for a need? Are you taking a swing? And if so, who's available to leave? Or are you sitting firm and holding on to what we have and looking to see if we do something in the summer? Let's go to you, Mikey, first.
I think it's going to depend on what happened to Markel Fultz. Like, if this injury continues to linger, and let's say we get to, like, was it? I think the trade deadline's after the All-Star break. So let's say we get to the All-Star break, and am I right? Is that before or after?
It's in about February time. Hang on, I'll find out now.
About 2 months' time, isn't it?
But I think if Fultz is still lingering, I think his injury is still lingering. I think we need a short-term answer at point guard. I know, like, it's all like next man up and that sort of mentality. Mm. And I talked about this with Gary weeks and weeks ago, and his name's come up with on every podcast I can think of. Malcolm Brogdon, who's got 2 years remaining, $22 million a year. He is the perfect sort of plug-in and play veteran who can shoot threes, can run the offense, can play off the ball. I think as a short-term answer at point guard, if we really want to be serious about making a run in the playoffs and making some noise, then somebody like that could be a short-term answer. Alex Caruso is another name. I don't think Chicago can answer the phone to us after what we did to them the last time. But I think little moves like that, I don't think a big move's really necessarily. I think we still want to see how this season plays out. Get into the playoffs, make the playoffs, see how we fare when we get into a matchup against whoever we end up playing, because that's really going to show this team's weaknesses when we get into the postseason, and that will give us a bit of a look ahead to what we need going forwards. Whether we know this team needs 3-point shooting, that is. We all know that. We saw that after, was it the Cleveland game? But yeah, I don't think we need to push for a move necessarily. I think if something shows itself, I think if a player becomes available, you think might, I don't know, maybe helps you get out of the first round or helps spread the floor a little bit more, or answers an injury problem, then I think that's the way to go. But I wouldn't be going shaking and rustling the apple tree. That doesn't even make any sense either.
Yeah, what are you on about?
I have no idea. But
too many
yeah,
ciders, mate.
Upset the apple cart. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
February the 8th is the trade deadline.
Yeah, just Easter. Week before.
Yeah. For me, yeah, Mikey's spot on. You know, it's that point guard position. You know, we see how well Franz plays Banchero, especially with the ball in their hands, you know, and either Jalen or Gary in at the moment. So you're looking at that 1-5 position. Obviously, Wendell spreads the floor, and he's a better player than Bitadze, but my God, he's been good, hasn't he? Goga.
Yeah. Good wow. Understanding as well with wow. Anthony Black.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been superb. And, as you know, I'm not the biggest Anthony Black fan. He's done all right, but he's very limited on offense. I don't know, it's you know, he's only played, what, 20 NBA games in his career, and it will come. But he kind of has the same sort of issues with, as Fultz does. So, but I think Fultz is a better ball handler, a better playmaker, a better finisher in and around the rim. Black's probably got the three-point shot on him at the moment, just. So in terms of... I would probably sit tight, if I'm honest, Paul. I think the organization's got us in a very good position in terms of flexibility with everybody we've got. Obviously, you know, they've brought, you know, they've kept Isaac on, and you know, Isaac on the floor, absolutely superb. He's an actual game changer. But the issues are at the one position and the five position. And, you know, you kind of want Franz or Paolo to have the ball in your hand, as we've seen in the last 10 games. So that leads me on to, you know, having a shooter as a point guard. You know, I don't want to say it. I am Team Markel. I want to see him plug back in. Let him do what he can do. And I know he can do it. So other than that, though, if you're looking at, you know, Mikey mentioned a couple of prospects there. But obviously, Anthony Simons has been mentioned from the Portland Trail Blazers, who's currently out injured. But obviously he carries, you know, I can't even remember if it's 20 or 25 minutes. Oh, did he? Okay. I haven't got his salary, but I'm pretty sure it's either 20 or 25 million per season. And he's on the books for a couple of years. So he can shoot the ball, obviously. You know, so he might be a good one. But one I did see on X or Twitter, Emmanuel Quickley from the Knicks. I just pulled up his salary. He's not making much, so he's probably going to become a 22-23. How much is he on? Signed a 4-year, $10.8 million contract with the Knicks. So he's not on a great deal, and he's a restricted free agent in 2024. I don't know what the situation is with the Knicks, but he's very capable. You know, you put him in that starting lineup, and you know, he's pretty good defensively from what I've seen. Shoot the ball. Does he fill that need? But, you know, you need like a ball handling shooter, don't you? Just to compliment Franz and Paolo. You know, we've heard talk of Zach LaVine. I don't think he's a winning basketball player in terms of, you know, what he's achieved in his career. You know, he puts up stats, but he's not been on winning teams. And he's, you know, made mistakes late in games. And then obviously you've got Buddy Hield, who's, he's not a point guard, is he? But he's a great three-point shooter. So, but again,
surely aren't going to get
No. But obviously he mentioned, you know, earlier in the season, you know, there was talk, wasn't there? So, and he's a bit of a warrior. So I wouldn't go there myself and commit that much money to those two. But Quickley, I pick up the phone, see what they say.
Anthony Simons had 28 points, shot 6 of 13 from 3 in his return. I think it was last night against the Warriors, and he has 2 years remaining after this season, and he's earning 25 and 27.
It's 25. Million. Okay. I mean, it's a lot, but you're all in.
He's 6'3", though. Is he a little bit undersized for what fits?
If he's the point guard, though,
yeah,
probably not.
I think point guard on this team's a, like, we don't. I don't think we really want a traditional point guard. Do you, Paul? Mm-mm.
No, I don't think we need. No. I don't think we do. I think with the increased playmaking ability that we're seeing from Paolo in particular, there's others that you can highlight on the team of seeing increases in assists. You've got players throughout the roster who can handle the ball, create others' opportunities. I keep writing in the preview that even though Paolo is the team assist leader, it's very much a collective, it's a team responsibility rather than having a single person who is, you are the ball handler, you are the guy who creates the opportunities and get all the assists as a result. It's a collective, it's a team responsibility under the system that we're playing. So no, I don't necessarily think we need a traditional point guard.
What do you think to the to making a move?
Me? I'd hold on.
Yeah.
I personally, I would say hold pat, see what we've... I'm still happy for the rest of the season to play out, seeing what we have. We've been out without Markel for a while. We've been without Wendell for a while. So I'm more than happy to allow them to have the opportunity to come back in and see where this team is come the end of the season. If come the trade deadline, and I suppose more particularly buyout season, if we are in a position to be taking home court advantage, looking at a playing position and home court advantage, then it becomes an interesting question as to whether it's worth taking somebody of experience who can potentially get you through the first round further and get you deeper into the playoffs. That becomes a different question. But that, I think that's one for further down the line, personally.
One point, we just, you know, we're talking about traditional point guards. The league's moved on. How many traditional point guards are there?
Very, very few.
Very few.
Really?
It's about big wings now who, you know, who can play make with the ball, like what we got with Franz and Paolo. So you're almost better having, you know, almost two shooting guards like a Jalen Suggs and, you know, another capable shooter spotting them in corners who can make and giving it to Franz Paolo. And then you can imagine the pick and rolls and stuff. But, you know, even for the reserve unit, I mean, Cole's great, but I'm quite happy with Joe Ingles with the ball. I really am. His pick and rolls. Like, if we do one thing this Christmas, I'd take Joe Ingles to the Fountain of Youth, right? Make him back to he's 23 or something, and then re-sign him up. He's been fantastic.
Playing jingle balls all the while, aren't we, at the minute?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Personally, I would hold pat. I don't think there's a need to swing big in February. I just thought it was an interesting question. It's one that's getting asked a lot. There's one name that I have seen mentioned a few times, whether or not it's somebody who's gettable or whether or not it's somebody who you'd actually like. And we played him last night. Cade Cunningham keeps getting mentioned as being, what if we could get him? What would it take?
I mean, we've got a lot of picks. It depends what Detroit want,
isn't
it?
Because do they need any more youth?
Well, that's just it, isn't it? I don't think we need to
make that move, if I'm honest.
Do we? No. I feel the other thing is,
kind of past that point a little bit. I'm not saying it's a gamble on a Kate Cunningham, but I just feel like that move that we do make, because there is a big move coming, isn't there? There's a consolidation of some sorts of bringing in, like, I don't know about you guys, watching Cleveland the other night, you think if you added Donovan Mitchell to this team...
Mate, that's the dream, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm not saying Donovan Mitchell is the answer.
No, but that type of player who can space the floor, create his own shot, and drop a damn good ball into somebody else.
Is he a free agent this season? I think he is.
I'll tell you before we go.
The thing I don't get about the Cade Cunningham side of things is it's a lot of the same people who were saying Markel is unreliable, he's never fit. Cade Cunningham's missed a lot of games through injury. And it becomes, for me, there's a risk involved in that, in taking somebody like him with an injury record that he has.
Mitchell has one more year on his deal next season, and then he's got a player option for the year after.
Okay.
So,
but he was earning, what, $33 million this year, $35 million next
year. So if things don't go well for Cleveland and you go into the off-season and offer them a package to add Donovan Mitchell, we might not need him.
I don't mind chipping in. I don't mind chipping in with his wages.
What, throwing a few dollars that you got left?
I don't mind. Yeah. So anyway, that's been interesting. I just wanted to get what your take was on that. We have just one game between recording this episode and Thursday the 14th when we're recording next. And that is the home game against Cleveland on Monday night, Tuesday morning. It's a midnight tip UK time, 7 p.m. in Orlando. So, very, very quick predictions this week. G. W.
W.
Mikey.
We're watching on YouTube. I did it by hand gesture.
W as well. And make that a full house from me. Hey, I'm good for a second week of being 100% correct. Because I went 2-2 last week.
You should have gone 2-2. You should have gone 2-2 last week. We would have gone 4-0. It's your fault, not mine.
Mate, I did go 2-2, didn't I? I went 2-2.
Here we go. We've come full circle now, Paul. It was your fault.
Yeah, I deliberately went 2-2, knowing that I'm awful at predictions, thinking that that'll do it. That'll do it. That'll see us nice and safe. Sorry.
I also said we go 2-2, but there's no video evidence of that either.
Yeah. Mate, you told me. I think you told me.
No, I didn't. I'll
stand here and say, you told me.
You told me you were worried about the Brooklyn game. I'll back that up. You definitely said I was worried about the Brooklyn game. But I can't believe we played Brooklyn bad that game.
It's just not been a good building for us.
No.
Since we've relocated there, we've got an awful record in that building.
It's not a very good building. Have you been there, Paul?
No, mate.
It's not, is it, Mikey? It's just dark and dingy.
Dark and dingy.
If there's a game that I least look forward to watching in the schedule, it's from watching on TV standpoint, then it is our games in Brooklyn. It's just so drab. Yeah.
Well, Memphis for me as well.
I just don't like watching. The greys and blacks, everything just seems to blend into one another. I don't like
What about their jerseys, their city jerseys that look like they've been designed by a 5-year-old? I reckon Lily could design a better jersey than what they're wearing.
It just looks like they've lied to somebody with a paint pod on it. Come on, kids.
I think they had SpongeBob SquarePants ones last year
Bring Your Child to Work Day at Nike when they designed that jersey.
Oh, God.
Anyway, on that note, I think that'll do, guys, for this week. So, Mikey G, thank you for joining me. It's been really fun. I enjoyed this. Please, everyone, if you are watching this, subscribe, make and follow us. We do thank you for your support and watching or listening to what we do. Subscribe to the podcast, as I say. The link is in the description. If you like this episode, give it a thumbs up. If you're watching on YouTube, leave us comments and questions. We will always respond. And if you're listening to this episode, leave us your review, share it with other Magic fans. It really does help us grow the show and the content that we provide. So you can also like us Facebook, follow us on Instagram, TikTok and X, all at underscore Let's Talk Magic. And until next week, from an absent Gary, Grant, Mikey, and myself. Let's go, Magic.